Todd is forever a sugar baby.
I can wish. You know what, though? I feel like...
Your time has passed. It's very surprising to me that I actually gave you a chance.
Remember that time you tried to do investing and you lost us like
$10,000? You always find what I struggle with easy.
You struggle with dishes. So I accepted a long time ago that I will just do them all. You know what I mean?
We're podcasters now.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's really weird.
I feel like it's been a long time in the making. Well, actually, I know it has. So I was thinking about it today, and it's been almost 3 years that we've been saying we wanted to do it.
I think a lot of it has been nerves.
Yeah.
Or for me, anyway. I don't want to speak for you, but for so long, we've been creating weekly YouTube videos, which are very different. Like, you don't have the opportunity to really get into the nitty-gritty of it all.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of questions that people have that we don't really get to answer. So I feel like this is a really cool way for us to get to know each other and like our community better.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive deep into topics that we've wanted to talk about for a long time and just haven't really had the opportunity. I don't know if you're watching this on YouTube or Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, but our cat Squirrel just jumped up on the couch.
You're probably going to hear her quite a bit. She tends to be active, but we are filming in our living room, in our dome, off-grid, in the middle of the woods, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we have a very, very unique life, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like we've had very, like a large number of iterations of our life and time together, which... It's sort of where this name comes from as well, tangents, because there's been so many tangents along our way that I think it's cool. It's a way for us to share our experience with you all and answer the questions of how we have some of the skills we do or why we do things the way we do.
Yeah, plus we do struggle with staying on topic and on task.
That's the other reason.
That's the other reason. So, and plus the two T's. Love alliteration.
Tyler loves it.
Obsessed.
Yeah. So I guess we should probably say who we are. Like,
oh, yeah.
You're Tyler.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
And I'm Todd. And this is Tangents with Tyler and Todd.
So today we kind of wanted to go all the way back in time. Todd was just mentioning all the different iterations we've had and tangents we've made in our life along the way. We've actually been together 15 years. So
it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. We first met when we were in grade 12.
Yeah. So a lot of people ask how we met. And the way that we did was we were both accepted into university in grade 12. And we were randomly matched with someone that we were going to be starting university with the following year.
So it was kind of like a way for when you get to university or college, if you're listening in America, it was a way for you to have at least one friend when you got to school because, as you know, going away to school is a very scary experience.
Yeah. So we were paired and the thing was we had to make a mixed CD of our favorite music and mail it to the other person with like a little card and stuff.
We're dating ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it wasn't like cassettes or A-tracks. Or imagine if you had to like carve like into a vinyl record the songs you liked and then mail that off for someone to play on their sonogram. Like, at least we're not dating ourselves that far.
True.
So we got paired together and we made our CDs and we mailed them and we just sort of, I don't know what it was, kind of saw something different in each other and just really clicked right away, I would say.
I mean, it's very surprising to me that I actually gave you a chance because the songs on your CD were very, very different than mine. Todd's was, you know, the biggest songs of 2009. A lot of Flo Rida. What else was on there?
Oh, I can't even remember. But I'm like a top pop.
Boots with the fur?
Probably was there.
Whole club looking at her?
Well, why not? She had the boots with the fur. But I'm, and I still am to this day, like if you hear a car going by with top pop blasting with one person in the car.
That's Todd.
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, I'm a more like rip your heart out kind of like indie folk alternative. Like, you know, when it's like singer-songwriter and they've really been through some stuff.
That's Tyler. Yeah, and like he'll rewind the song four times over and just say,
listen to the lyrics. Just listen to the lyrics.
So there was obviously a little bit of a difference. And the case, like Tyler's case, was so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It was all these hand-cut photos and stuff and taped together and handwritten. Mine was just like printed out from the computer, cut to fit inside of the CD case and shipped out the door.
I mean, very different people, but it was...
I'm the type of person also that if it's on my to-do list, we're getting it done.
Yeah,
and it needs off.
It needs off, where I overanalyze and obsess, which is probably why it's been 3 years of us saying we're going to put out a podcast and it's taken this long.
So yeah, we made our CDs and exchanged them. Did you actually like judge me at first because of how my CD was?
It was a little disappointing, but I obviously went to Facebook and put your name in and then did some creeping, and somehow I was able to overlook your choice of music pretty easily. I'm going to be honest. I'm outing myself now to my husband 15 years later is not really a big deal, but I pined over you like you would not believe. All I did was look at your photos, and keep in mind, I had a girlfriend at that time, which looking back is wild. Maybe that's like a topic for another podcast, but yeah, I was very much still in the closet, and I had this opportunity to chat on MSN dating again with this boy that I couldn't get over. I was actually getting to meet, and I'm sure you remember this, but I asked you a lot of questions about how you came to terms with your sexuality and how did you know that you were gay, because I didn't tell you I was gay at the time.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I think I kind of knew sort of later on, because the questions you were asking. I
mean, there weren't a lot of secrets. Like,
it was a little obvious. He's not very good at playing hide and seek, but I won't lie, I wasn't either. Still not to this day. But I don't know. There was just something different. I was dating someone at the time, so that was also a factor in it. But when that relationship ended a few months after, and then that's more when you started to go through explaining like your situation and stuff, I feel like we just really clicked because...
Well, it was friends at first.
Like, yeah.
When we first started chatting on Facebook and MSN, it was just sort of like... I don't know. We were getting to know each other. It was very platonic, but the more we connected and then we started Skyping and then every single night we were Skyping, it really became obvious that it was someone that I could see myself dating. And we were in a unique position because we had those 8 months before we even went away to university that we got to really know each other. So the program of sending a mix CD, 10 out of 10 recommend, definitely worked for us, but I never expected that would have led to everything that's happened over the last 15 years.
Yeah, especially like when we both got to university, like I thought something would change then, like meeting in person, because it just seemed too good. Because I think what was really interesting right away was the fact that you and I both challenged each other as well on opinions and like got into really deep conversations, which was, I mean, I'm sure now they probably weren't as deep as we thought. Like,
no, we have some really deep chats. Like, I think that's why our relationship. It's hard to explain unless you are like in our like personal life, but it's such a deep connection. It's rooted in friendship, and obviously, like, I'm attracted to you and intimacy is great and like all of that stuff, but you're my best friend first. And I think it's made all of the other challenges that every couple goes through, it's made it a lot easier.
100%. And like, I think we always look at like how it would impact the friendship, because like, we also have to be realistic. Like, there will come a time where the intimacy may go away just from like age. Like, you know, if we're both like 99 and frail in a bed, I highly doubt we're going to be like getting frisky with who knows. Like, I'm hoping, but I think we always like we're partners in it forever, and so we're always going to be best friends. That's kind of how I looked at it, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. And I think like going back to those 8 months before we even met in person, we were able to build that connection and the depth that we have still to this day. But I remember the first time we talk about this all the time. The first time I ever laid eyes on you, you, your dad, and your nan were driving that old red truck.
Quincy,
that your dad had. And I saw your dad first. I saw your nan first, actually. And I was like, that like sort of looks like Todd, like in a weird way. And then I panned over to the driver and it was your dad. I knew it was your dad, even though I didn't know what he looked like. It looked so much like you. And then I panned and it was like a moment in those like shows, like Heartstopper. Like, I am dead serious. When I looked at you in the passing, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, he is actually real. I was so absolutely in love with you at that time. I mean, I still am in love with you, but it was like the 17-year-old like craze that I can't even explain. And I could not get over that you were real. And I texted you, said that I saw you. And then remember, you picked me up at the mall.
That was the most nervous I have ever felt in my life, was that drive, because like we weren't at university at that time. It was like we were able to drop our stuff off to mm-hmm. residence, but we weren't allowed to move in or something. Yeah. So I was,
I should say we were both at res dropping off our stuff, and I saw you as you were leaving and I was getting there. So we never got to actually, it was just cars passing by.
Yeah. So then we were meeting up like the next day or mm-hmm. something in person for the first time, and we were meeting at the mall.
Yeah.
And that hour drive to the mall was like the most disgusting feeling I have ever felt in my entire life, because it was like, I don't know, I just knew that something was different.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. It's weird to talk about. Whew. I don't do emotions well, so I don't like these feelings coming up. I don't know. It was just interesting because something was just different. Like it was just different.
It's kind of wild that we're like 5 minutes into our first podcast and we're crying. I know what you mean.
So many stereotypes.
So many stereotypes. I know what you mean. It was like, wow, everything was like finally coming into focus. And that's kind of why I said the Heartstopper example earlier. If you haven't seen the show Heartstopper, by the way, it's a show on Netflix. You have to check it out. It is just, I've never seen a show that perfectly describes that feeling. And like, it was magic. It was literally electric. I remember sitting next to you in the passenger yeah. seat being like, wow, like I found my person.
It was also, Tyler was nervous too, obviously, because your best friend was there as yeah. well in the back seat the whole time. And we went and got some takeout, and we yeah. went and to Citadel Hill and mm-hmm. like sat and watched like boats and stuff, all of us. And
it was really nice that she was there, because it cut the tension.
It did. It was huge. Mm-hmm. Like it was awesome. And I still
remember though, like
the reaching hands? Over and like the fingers. God, why did we start with this topic?
I don't know.
But yeah, it was really good. I mean, I'm not going to say that our relationship has been a romance, and
no.
it still has tensions. But that day was like, whew.
A fairy tale, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, any relationship has complications, especially in a marriage. Like, there's so many compromises every single day that we both make for one another. And
Tyler makes more than me, and I do have to give you a lot of praise for that, because you put up with a lot of shit, I will say.
You can be, as they say, extra sometimes, but yeah, it's, yeah, I don't want it to come across like this is like the perfect relationship and like mm-hmm. all that like relationship goals. Yuck. It is not that. There's yeah. a lot of, we put in an incredible amount of work in our relationship, but at the same time, that feeling of, I will always remember laying on that hill and our pinkies touching, and it just felt like, it felt everything that I knew that I wanted
mm-hmm.
for my whole life that I was denying, because up until that point, I really was still in the closet. Finally, I felt like, okay, this is who I am. And I felt like safe and comfortable. And that was, it was such a transformational moment in my life that I'll always hold.
It still took me 2 times asking you out to actually become boyfriends, though.
Yeah, I know. I
played hard to get.
I played really hard
to
get. Holy,
and that was a hard game. But eventually, I still remember it was Thanksgiving weekend. You came out to my parents' house and we were laying in my bed. And I get confused on this part now, if it was my birthday or if it was the night before my birthday.
October 12th.
So it was, my birthday's the 13th. I used to be scared that I was born on Friday the 13th, but I looked it up and it was a Saturday.
This year was a Friday the 13th.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? Nothing bad happened. So
tangents with Dollar Todd.
So yeah. I still remember that we were laying in bed, like bellies full of turkey and stuffing. And you said yes. And it was really, I don't know. It was really cool. It was just a, I don't know. I think because you played hard to get, it made it that much
more special.
Yeah, that you didn't say yes right away. Because we were still like just finding our own space, like experiencing Frosh together, getting used to university course loads. Both of us were away from home for the first time. So it was very confusing. I get why you didn't say yes right away.
Well, and I think there's a lot to be said about that time. You really grow a lot as an individual. Like when you're 17 years old and you move away from home, you don't know anything. Like, and I'm sorry if you're 17 and you're listening to this, you do know things, but you have a lot to learn and a lot to figure out. And so much growth and transformation is about to happen to you that being in a long-term committed relationship during that time can totally be tricky. Like it's a tricky time.
Yeah. Like, I think you and I both thrived in that because we need stability. We don't do well with change quickly, but that's not for everyone. I don't think that everyone should go to university or college and be in a relationship. There are some people that need that.
I think looking back, if I didn't find the person that I knew that I wanted to like be with and stay with, I think university and college would be a lot more fun single. And like, you can just like find yourself, you can experiment, you can do whatever you want. Not that we couldn't do that.
Do you ever regret it?
No, because like I wouldn't change like a single detail about my life. I really wouldn't.
I regret it every day. I'm just joking.
I know you're joking, but the years that we spent together in university, we really grew together. And I think that that has been really foundational in the years after we left university. Like our first jobs, our buying a house together, getting dogs, and like talking about having kids in the future, and like all of the building blocks that we slowly got to, the foundation of our house is just, I feel so solid. And we wouldn't have had that had we have not grown together along that time.
100%. And I think it's very easy for people to think we're the same person because like we do have a lot of similarities.
But we're so different.
We are such different people. Yeah. And I often think that we're like a very good pairing of yin to yang. And that's why we did really well in those growth years together, because although we were growing together as a couple, individually we were growing in our own directions, like following our own interests. So for instance, we both started out in university wanting to do something completely different. You were going into neurology and wanted to be a brain surgeon, and I was going into kinesiology and going into physiotherapy.
But you know what though, just a little side tangent on that,
we're just gonna put pause here.
We're just gonna put a pin in that. But it's because the schooling system is so designed for, if you do well in school, like we both did, we both had 90s in high school. We did really, really well. And the system says, okay, so then that means that you should be a doctor, or you should be a dentist, or you should do these types of things. And we kind of got like thrust into programs that we really weren't interested in. It was just like your school said that you should do it. And that caused a lot of tension.
Oh yeah. This is why, like I have huge issues with how schooling works and stuff. And like, if we had kids, I would seriously consider homeschooling because I think it could be a more...
Really?
A wholly, like, a more rounded education, because I agree with you. I don't think that the school system does good of showing the different career options. So, for instance, I switched into a program called recreation management, mm-hmm. where I learned how to run recreation facilities, the importance of, like, leisure and all of that. That was never taught to me. What did you do?
Neuroscience first is what I was in. And then I switched and I did a business degree. So a Bachelor of Management.
I was going to say commerce, but I was like, it's not commerce, no. Management.
Yeah. So I did a Bachelor of Management in Entrepreneurship and Innovation. And it was 4 years of learning how to start a business, scale a business. Like it was something that had I have known in high school, do you want to do that? Oh my God. I would have been all over that.
100%.
But my high school didn't even have a business course. We didn't learn about economics. We didn't have an accounting. We didn't even learn budgeting. We had science, math, English, history, and gym.
But see, homeschooling,
what?
An easy way to do it, make the math.
I don't know about all that. I don't know about it.
But Todd, make the math question, instead of how many apples does Sally have if she dropped 8 of the 12 she started with, make it about balancing the budget. You have $1,200 a month.
Or Sally can go stack our firewood.
Yeah.
Count how many sticks are there and report back.
Don't drop any. Oh, so we were talking about growing together.
Oh,
back on track.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So I think that like going through those years together was really interesting because like our relationship got really strong and I found it interesting watching you grow as well. Cause what you were doing wasn't of interest to me. Like I never felt competitive with you or that we were trying to go after the same thing. Like we wanted different things, but we wanted to be together.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I also think too, just speaking on our differences, what I find interesting is when I'm really struggling with something, I don't know if this is just luck, but you always find what I struggle with easy and what you struggle with, I find easy.
Yeah. Like we have now, like I find kind of roles that we kind of take on just inadvertently.
Yeah.
Like you struggle with dishes. So I accepted a long time ago that I will just do them all. You know what I mean?
I think though, like, I'm not going to do a low cut at you, even though I could right now. I'm going to take the high road. See?
This is
opposites.
Yeah, exactly. Yin and yang.
Yeah. I think though, even in the business that we've created and everything that we do, like I'm very much the creative side. You're very much like the logic and like the organization and all of that. And I think that being able to not step on one another's toes and being able to be like, I trust that Todd will manage whatever it is that we're doing. He's got it. I've got my stuff and we'll get together and kind of like meet up and trust that we're each running stuff how we should. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm explaining that.
Well, I know when to bring you in on certain things. I also think that you're more of a macro person just in general. You don't have this. I don't think just in across so many things.
That's the best way to explain it. I am like, I live at 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
Up in the clouds constant and you're running around on the ground.
But I love it because you're figuring out the next thing while I'm wrapping up this. So for instance, with like if we were flipping a house, I would be doing the final details of it while you're getting a realtor figured out or the mortgage or paying off all the bills and stuff. Like that's not my skill.
No.
I'm the one who forgot to pay $19 on a credit card for 8 months that ruined my credit for a little bit.
You know the analogy when like someone is holding you down and you want to like fly away like the balloon or whatever it is. I forget how it goes, but it's
so like I hold you down.
No, what I'm saying is when you really think about, there is nothing wrong with being held down and like kept into reality. So a prime example is because I'm always 10,000 feet above the ground, I sometimes lose perspective and lose sight of things and I could just like drift away and I'm not able to get focused on like you pull me back down and center me, but I also make you dream bigger than you normally would.
And, 100%.
You know, we just give each other different perspective that I think is so lucky and unique.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to like that first 8 months that we're not afraid to like challenge each other on something either. And mm-hmm. I know if you're giving me an idea of something you want to pursue and I see a like plot hole or something, you know, like something could go wrong here.
Yeah, I'm you're the first to admit that.
Yeah, but I know I'm not going to hurt your feelings because totally. It's in your best interest. Like, it's kind of like figure this part out. And no different than for me, like when I'm doing what I do and you see, you're like, okay, like you're overanalyzing this or you're spending way too much time. Like, you're way too micro right now. You need to be a little bit like higher level. And I don't take offense to that because I know you're like...
You're in the weeds yeah. here. Like...
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But speaking of being in the weeds, I feel like we have sort of entered the weeds. So bringing it back to...
right.
So bringing it back to our relationship and the early days.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that when we moved in together in second year of university, it was too soon?
I don't because of... what we were just talking about, the depth of our relationship and all of that. But I don't know if I would want my kid to. Looking back, I can understand why your parents were, and my parents yeah. were concerned and didn't think that it was a good idea.
Yeah. They also seem to be concerned about a lot of our ideas.
Still are.
But I think, again, they all love us. They want the best for
oh,
us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a hard part in our relationship because like that was, we were like, close and all of that, but then when you're actually living with someone,
that was very difficult.
That was a stressful time in our relationship, I think.
I think probably one of the most stressful points, if yeah. I'm being honest.
Yeah. I remember sitting in a Tim Hortons with hot chocolate, crying, waiting for my mom to pick me up because I was moving out.
If that's not a Canadian story, I don't know what is. Everyone's been there.
Yeah. But it's... We worked through it. And I think that's a normal part of a relationship moving in together. You're literally blending the way you live, have been brought up, yeah. all the traditions of your family. And I'm bringing all that from my side and it's banging in the middle. And I think that was really helpful though, that we kind of got that out of the way early. And then we were able to like, we were so much further ahead when we left university because we had that time essentially living together. Well, we were living together, but kind of like a married couple.
But we had a roommate always, remember? So that kind of balanced it out.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't our apartment. We weren't setting it up like a home. We had a roommate. So
we split the groceries.
Yeah.
Like everything was 50-50, which I think was cool. But then by the time we got to fourth year of university and we moved into, that was fourth year, right?
Yeah.
When we moved in by ourselves, it was scary, but
felt to me, it's interesting because we had the roommates, it felt much more real when we were in fourth year university, when we moved in together. And I think that maybe that was sort of because of how much I loved it and how beautiful that experience was. And by this point we had been together for 5 years.
Four.
Oh, yes, 4 years. But, like, we had the year before to, like, get to know each other. And, you know, I felt more sure.
Still weren't dating me until the second time I asked. But
who's
we're
counting?
Counting that time now.
So I think, though, it became really obvious to me that I wanted to spend forever with you. So, and that's when I proposed.
Yeah. But it was beautiful. Except my mom called like 4 times throughout yeah. your proposal, mm-hmm. which I love my mom, but
she's nothing if not persistent.
If you don't answer on the first call, like you just
also I'm waiting for her to just like
call.
Walk in the door. Like that will probably happen on the podcast. It'd be great to have your parents on the podcast sometime.
Wouldn't that
be fun?
It would. And there's a rule. If they walk in the door, they're have to
it.
Stay.
Yeah.
Gotta stay. Grab a seat.
Yeah, no. We're very lucky. Todd's parents live not too far from us, and they're just the best.
Yeah. So back to the proposal. Oh, yeah. It was really good, too. It was obvious. So we had... Also, I'm going to say the proposal didn't come out of nowhere. It did in a way, and we'll get there in a sec. We're going to go on a little tangent first. But... we had talked so much, like we, before we even moved in together, we had been talking about marriage and what it would look like. Mm-hmm. When we moved in together, we didn't officially combine bank accounts, but we weren't...
Not right away, yeah.
But we weren't splitting things right down the middle. Like, I think one of us took cable and electric and the other took groceries or something like that, or...
Well, we didn't have a pot to piss in. Like, yeah. We really did not... I mean, we had our paychecks. We worked all through university. We had part-time jobs and...
We also had a little side business.
Oh, yeah. Can we go on a little tangent on that, or is that a different topic?
No, I think that's also really important to the story, too, yeah. Because of what I'm saying of how we came out further ahead in after college.
Yeah.
Because we had built a little side business mm-hmm. while we were there, and so we had sort of seen how we would work together in our different roles, and we knew that we loved entrepreneurship.
Wow, I've never thought about it that way before, but you're right. Like, not only were we dating all through university, but we were also running a business together even all the way back then.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't... Okay, so what our business was, the apartment that we moved into, it was a 22...
The first one with roommates.
Yes, the first one with roommates. Was it a 22-story...
something like that.
22-story apartment building. And we discovered that because it was mainly university students living in the building, at the beginning of every month, there would be garbage left on the lobbies of each floor. So we would ride the elevator and click each floor only when it was empty. We weren't those guys. But then the elevator...
We would go at like... Midnight,
yeah. And the elevator doors would open and it would just be this massive lobby filled with furniture, everything you can think of, from bed frames to couches, microwaves.
But people, it was just garbage to them because we went to school in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So there'd be people from New York, Toronto, like yeah. all these different places, and they're not going to move an IKEA bed back to Toronto. Like,
yeah. So people just, unfortunately... I wonder if they still do that.
I don't know.
This is a hot tip. If you want to make some side money, do this. So the first of every month, we would, you know, check to see what garbage there was. And we would take...
Furniture. It's not garbage.
Furniture. My apologies. We would take the best pieces and we would bring them back to our apartment and then look on Craigslist or Kijiji, whatever sort of classified site we could find, and then list it on there and then sell it. So then we got...
But we... We would clean them up. Like sometimes
we put work into it.
Like some of them would be pretty dirty. We would clean them all up.
Yeah.
Or some of them might have like wobbly legs or things like that. Like we
would do some repairs and maintenance.
Like we would, because we want, like, if you have nothing, you have your name. And our furniture on Kijiji, which is like Craigslist in Canada, was going to be the best furniture.
Oh, you bet your bottom dollar. we weren't going to do anything. That's the other thing about us. We do not do anything unless it's like 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like we pride ourselves on quality and yeah, you only have your name.
Exactly. Oh, there's a really good quote. It's like, your name is your business card, but how you leave people, that's your real business card. I don't know. It's something.
You should put that on a mug. That was deep.
It was really deep.
Yeah.
It was better when I saw it on Pinterest. I was having red wine and just looking at all these motivational quotes.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes that's just good for the soul, I feel.
Yeah. So anyway, we really got our start in life selling furniture and then garbage in quotation marks behind that.
But then what would we do with that money?
So what we did with that money is we discovered that the hot commodity on a university campus is really textbooks. Textbooks have incredible value. If you've been to college, you know all about it. A textbook can easily be $100, $150.
And Amazon was really changing the market at the time.
Yeah.
Because before, used books, or at least here, you could only buy the used book from the university bookstore.
Or unless you wanted to go on a classified website. And you could get it for like maybe 70% off like what the retail price was. So we discovered sometimes there's textbooks left also in the garbage. So that's really how we got the start. And then what we decided to do was sell those textbooks on Amazon because Amazon was selling for significantly more than what the classifieds were. We even then started using the furniture money that we made, and we were buying textbooks from other students on the classified and then selling them on Amazon for sometimes 100% profit. It was unbelievable how much money we were making.
We have a couple photos somewhere. I think they still exist of just stacks of books. It was, but we would always, so we would always buy them for more than what the university bookstore would buy them back for, though. That was the thing. We weren't ripping off students.
Yeah.
The university bookstore, so say a book, the university would buy it back for $50. It's 200 brand new. The university will buy it back off of you for $50. We would buy it for $75 and sell it for $100 on Amazon, which was fair market on Amazon.
Like $130.
But the bookstore was still charging more than that. Like, they were making some serious coin on top of having already made money on the tuition.
Oh, you know what? Like, talking about this, like, I haven't thought of those memories in so long, but sitting in that old grungy apartment with you and like looking at the towers of textbooks from the floor all the way to the ceiling. And we would stay up all night wrapping these books up. Remember the bubble wrap? Oh my gosh.
And we got a little production line going because you have to put like the certain receipt in with it, like the order slip. And then you have, like, when we were doing it, we had to match the order with the tracking number and then come back and enter those in. When we came back from Canada Post from mailing them. And then, it was quite a little thing. Like, there were times where we'd be at Canada Post for an hour, hour and a half standing there to get these books all processed and out. But it went in waves too.
Yeah. It was like really busy in September and like really busy in January, like when the school season would start. But that was absolutely transformative because it was the first time that we actually felt like we had a bit of money in our pockets because we were also both working at the bar. We worked at, it's called the Greywood. I wonder if it still exists.
Maybe. It does, but it's not the same. The old one's like knocked down it's like a new one.
Yeah, of course. They always do that, don't they? They can't leave a good thing well enough alone.
I mean, that wasn't really that good of a thing.
No, it was a dive bar. But
it was our campus bar.
Yeah. It was painted all black inside.
It was a deep blue. If you looked closely, it was a deep blue with black panels and a black ceiling with very poor lighting. All up lighting too.
Yeah. Anyway, we worked there and I waited tables and Todd worked the bar and that was really fun, especially shifts that we got to work together. Remember Wednesday nights, wing night?
Wing night.
So we got a bit of money from that and then more money from the textbook and all the wheeling and dealing. And then we were able to use that. And so fortunately, despite not coming from wealthy parents, we were able to put a down payment on our first house the year that I graduated university.
Because you had a job right out of university with a bank. So we were able to qualify for a mortgage with that bank because they knew you were working there and stuff.
Yeah, they knew that my money was legit. So,
and we had the 5% that we needed to put down on it.
Yeah, it was very, very lucky that we got into that market when we did. I mean, there was a lot of hard work involved with that as well.
It was good though, because like, you and I had a similar value. And I know that if we weren't together or I feel like even if we didn't live together, I don't know that we would have stayed together necessarily, or things might have been a bit more tense because we had that shared drive for, like, rather than going out to the bars, we made the decision to work at the bar and make money instead of going and spending it. And I know for me, I would have been tempted if I wasn't with you, like coming home to a partner and stuff, but came home to just a bunch of roommates and they're like, hey, do you want to go for shots downtown?
Yeah,
like,
you'd be all over that.
Yeah. And,
listen, we love a good party.
Oh, we love a good party. Not shots though. We're more of like, we'll sip a cooler.
Wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do love a cooler though.
A cooler is just so good. It's convenient too.
Yeah. Anyway, so... God. So the point being is, what was the point? What were we talking about?
We were talking about how we came out of university and we were able to put our down payment on our first house.
Yes.
But I stayed in university for another year after Tyler.
Todd got 2 degrees. He likes to remind me.
Yeah. And a certificate as well.
But who's counting?
It was just the way all my credits lined up. But also it was, you helped me and we had that good understanding. I had a like full breakdown halfway through first semester of second year because I realized I was doing something I hated. Ooh, getting emotional again.
Todd is such a softie, you guys. Like, you don't normally get to see this side of him on YouTube, but...
I cry a lot of crying. But I hated what I was doing, and I felt that I was going to have to do it for the rest of my life because my parents have been helping me through school, and I thought I was wasting my time, their money, my all of it. And Tyler sat me down, and you are the one that found the program that, like, I thrived in. I got a job in that I loved. It was, yeah, really cool. And so I left kinesiology and went into a program called recreation management, where I got a Bachelor of Science in Recreation and a Bachelor of Management. But I had to go to school 6 credits a semester, 3 semesters a year, which is a normal is 5 credits, 2 semesters. So yeah, I was doing
it's a much heavier course load, and you have to go to school like basically year round for 6 years.
Yeah. But like that was because I didn't want to graduate more than 1 year later because I didn't want to like
5 years. Sorry.
Yeah. So it was a lot of work. And then in the last year, on top of that, I was working then 40 hours at the bar because you were 40 hours at the bank. And then we were renovating the place in Dartmouth. Then we had Charlie.
Yeah. That year was a lot. And I think probably one of the biggest tests of our relationship
while planning our wedding.
Yeah.
And so we bought the house in September of what year would that have been? 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
10 years ago?
10 years ago.
Holy smokes.
So we bought the house and we moved in on a Wednesday, and on Friday the basement flooded because there were 2 cracks in the foundation that either weren't disclosed or weren't discovered.
Which was devastating. It put so much pressure on our relationship, and
well, that's why I stepped it up and started working more at the bar, and because it worked.
We were just barely getting by.
Yeah, and because it was at the campus bar, we also did all liquor services on campus. So if any of the societies were having events on a random Tuesday, well, I would take the portable bar and go set it up in like an auditorium somewhere. And like sometimes they'd have drink tickets, sometimes it would be cash. It
you was know
like
what? So I worked a few of those with you to make extra money as well. And do you remember how fun some of them were? Remember the Indian night?
Oh, that one was really cool. Yeah. That one was actually hard to get. It was very sought after by a lot of the bartenders. So it wasn't until, I don't know how you got it that year, but it wasn't until I was like more senior that I was able to get it.
Mm. What can I say? When you got it, you got it.
Yeah. So the house flooded. So that kicked off the renovation. Oh, and also the house we bought, it wasn't some like cute little cottage with a picket fence and all redone.
It was the cheapest single family home we could find.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not surprised it flooded. It had exterior shingles on the inside. I think that was a design choice.
It was definitely a choice.
And oh, anyway, it was bad. The carpet was probably like 6 inches long in the basement. So when it flooded, it was just disgusting.
Yeah.
But we had watched a lot of HGTV in our like last year in our apartment, and we were like, we can do this. So we did want to fix her upper because we wanted to put the equity into it.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, there was no feeling quite like that. Like actually getting our hands dirty, and our families could not believe Tyler and Todd are going to lay laminate floor. Yeah. Okay. We'll see how that goes.
Let's not throw me fully under the bus. Okay, we'll just throw 1 foot. Like
you can throw me under the bus, run me over, back it up again and run me over again, because I was never going to be doing physical manual labor. I mean, I still don't love it, but
he was definitely
picking up a paintbrush. You can forget it.
Was not known for maintenance. So,
but what I discovered about it and the reason that I loved it was, hold on, I can take all of this money that we've built, all the hard work, all the garbage, the textbooks, the bar, and then buy this place, and we can put all this sweat equity into it. And then if we ever move, we're going to be golden. And good thing we did that.
Yeah. And it's a better bet too. Cause remember that time you tried to do investing and you bought silver or something, and then you did a leverage thing and you lost us like money.
$10,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that this
that's episode, why we only,
are we going to save that for another episode?
Well, that's why we only had the 5% down.
Oh, we're going to run Tyler over a few more times. That's a story for another day. But yeah, we, that year, actually the 9 months that we lived in that house was very trying, but I also worked incredibly hard at my job, which was stressful. I was trying to prove myself, trying to work my way up the ranks. And I started at a really large bank in Canada, and I started as an analyst position in their commercial banking division. So that's kind of like what I used my business degree for, I guess. And
which makes sense because you were in business.
Yeah,
and like you studied business. Sense. And like, I bet you were like, do you think you were drawn to it because you got to see all these other entrepreneurs and mm-hmm. interact with them and hear their stories?
Yeah. So what I liked about it was the job was reading people's financial statements and then helping them get loans through the bank. So as an analyst, I was just number crunching for the managers. But yeah, I would say that was what drew me in initially. But where I was going with that was I worked really hard that 9 months as an analyst because I needed to make more money because it was not enough. Like especially with the renovation and all of that.
And the renovation wasn't supposed to be that quick.
No.
We bought it with the intentions of living in it for a while. And then I was going to finish school, get a job. And then we were going to start renovating the house.
Yeah. But we never do things
basement flooded. What were we going to do? Like just sit there with the mold? No, we're going to rip it out and like get her going now and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, this is the thing, right? Like, we're always on slippery slopes. Like, look at this place.
Oh, yeah. Oh. We always just get, like, too far in it to stop.
Yeah. I'm sure that, like, some people watching, if you've never seen anything, this is your first intro, you're probably like, what kind of building are they in right now? Speaking on that, our life just goes in these weird paths. We take opportunities when they come up, mm-hmm. and that was exactly what happened. We were in the middle of this renovation on this house and I had been working really hard at the bank. And
So it wasn't quite the middle. You're missing a point. We had finished the house, like the basement, we had redone it and we were happy with it. And we said, okay, like we need to stop. We need to like replenish the funds.
Yeah.
And then we went away to your parents in Newfoundland for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And when it was ending or when we got back, you were offered the transfer. Yeah.
So I got an opportunity to transfer from an analyst to a manager, which is a considerable increase. It was like almost double what I was currently making. The only catch was...
meant I didn't have to get a job.
Todd is forever a sugar baby.
I can wish.
Yeah. In your fantasy, you are the furthest thing from a sugar baby.
Oh, I know. I feel like
you would totally sign up for that.
You know what though? I feel like
your time has passed.
No. Well, I feel like I could still be a good sugar baby, but I feel like I'm the type that would still like fix the yacht myself.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? You would be a very good sugar baby. You'd be making meals. You'd be doing dishes.
I would run their operation way more efficiently.
Yeah.
You know what? Their billions would become trillions within a matter of months.
Like that.
Just like that.
I mean, if there's anyone out there, you know where to find us.
Hi.
So, yeah, the opportunity to make double the money was a no-brainer, but the only catch was... we had to move from Halifax, Nova Scotia to Edmonton, Alberta, which is completely on the other side of the country, thousands of miles away from our family. And that was a really, really difficult decision.
But it was the right decision because also as I was finishing school, we realized just how difficult it was going to be for me to get a job in my field.
Yeah, here. Virtually impossible.
Yeah. And so... Edmonton has a big recreation area. Like, I find all out west of Canada,
yeah,
they focus more on it.
They really focus on the outdoors. I think it's actually quite similar in the U.S., if I'm not mistaken, that the West Coast, there's a lot of, like, parks and, like, outdoor stuff. Or maybe that's just because we spent a lot of time there when we were in the RV.
I don't know.
Oh, that's a
I never took geology or geography, whatever it's called.
Yeah. our public schools weren't good here.
But yeah, it was a good opportunity, so we took it, but we were at a pickle. We were in January, and you had to be there in September, mm-hmm. I think, is like you kicked it as far as you could. Oh, because I had to finish school, and I didn't finish until August.
Yeah.
So we realized we couldn't sell a half-renovated house because we're perfectionists, and our name is all we have, so we had to renovate the entire upstairs. So somehow we found a way to make it work. We discovered what a line of credit is.
Yeah, we discovered debt for the first time, which was scary. We were super responsible with it, and we knew how to use it, but
Paid it off when we sold the house and moved out west. Yeah. The first thing we did, we paid off when the money hit, we paid off the line of credit.
Yeah, so that was a really eye-opening experience to be able to, like, again, create this equity that, of course, we had to use because the real estate was way more expensive in Edmonton than it was in Alberta. But
now it's the flip.
I know. Isn't that wild?
Wild.
So we got married, and then we moved out to Edmonton in September of 2014.
Yeah.
And we kind of like buckled down. We had this agreement that we're here for 5 years and we are going to make as much money as we possibly can. And we had basically no life. We didn't really spend money. We went on a trip here or there, but we put our heads down and
we went there with a 5-year plan. So I was fortunate that when we flew out in June or July, we flew out to look at houses to buy one. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first time we had ever even been to Edmonton, had just Google imaged it. And so it was really fortunate. We had been applying for jobs for me before we went, and it lined up that I got an interview that I did while I was out there, that I got the job, that it started on the same day that you started your job, which helped me with the move because I was really scared that I was going to sit at home by myself and you were going to be off working and it was going to be like this, make me more aware that I was away from family, like far, far away for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I think that was good that happened. And it also allowed us to hit the ground running with our 5-year plan.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was important because it would have been difficult for you, I think, psychologically, especially knowing that you've left, but you couldn't get a job at home. And if you were there unable to get a job, that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I definitely would have spiraled and like questioned the previous 5 years of my life and like gone through every decision to find where it went wrong. But fortunately, that didn't happen. And I got a really good job with the local government there. And I was in a field that I loved. I was in recreation management. I was running a pool, which kind of like played off my high school experience. I was a lifeguard. I was on swim team. So were you, which is probably something that we were drawn together with too.
Probably.
Like another similar interest.
But yeah, like our jobs there, we moved up a little bit. We got some salary raises and that was really helpful in us and our mission to, you know, be as financially secure as we could. Looking back, do you regret our like pact to give up our 20s to work really hard? Because we missed out on a lot.
I did up until a couple months ago, because I felt like I'm going to be 33. Oh, no, I am 33. Whoops. And you're going to be 32 in December. Yeah. That's getting into our mid-30s. And I feel like we've been working really, really hard. Like, we haven't let up the brakes yet. And I was worried we were going to give up our 30s as well. So I was regretting the 20s. But now
it's tricky. It is very tricky, though, when you're on that treadmill to be like, this is enough. And I want to be present in my life because let's be honest, everything has come with a cost. Everything. We have given up a lot of personal relationships, a lot of family relationships, not given them up, but not prioritize them in the way that we can now.
Yeah. We put our business first, which I don't regret.
But some people do that their whole life.
Yeah. We had to, because I knew. So I started out liking my job.
Mm-hmm.
It quickly became a toxic work environment. There's a lot of homophobia out there. That was
a lot.
Very obvious, and some of it like literally said to me.
Yeah.
And so that's where a disconnect came, because I was literally, my worst fear was going to a job that I hated. And I was like, every day I was only furthering someone else's agenda, not my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I could get on board if I was aligned with the values, but the values were off, and that's where I couldn't do it anymore. It's also interesting looking back that that moment, like where we came back, we had gone to Puerto Rico, I think, and we came back and I was in the parking lot at work and bawled my eyes out. God, before I went back in, and that's when I knew it was wrong.
It's and, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel embarrassed about crying. Like,
it's just weird to me. Like, I normally don't cry in front of people. That's what's weird. Like, Tyler is one of the only people that sees me cry. The only one, other one would be like my mom.
But this is a totally safe space. I mean, we are sharing on the internet and people, we've learned a long time ago, there's going to be people that hate us. There's going to be people that love us. Just the whole point of doing this podcast is to be totally just raw and open.
Yeah.
It's just me and you here.
Yeah. It was good though, because like when I went home that day and told you what had happened, like you instantly brought up, well, why don't we buy a trailer and leave our jobs and go travel? So in hindsight, I think you had been planning this for a while. It was just interesting that my breaking point, you were already there with a backup.
Yeah. Well, like, obviously, like, I saw that you were struggling, and I was struggling too, and it felt like, okay, we're at the 5 years now, we agreed we were going to be here for 5 years, and it was like, where is our life going? Like, in five more years, where are we going to be? What do we want? Like, I felt like we were so laser focused on spending our 20s accumulating and working hard and being secure so we could enter our 30s and do what we want. And not for a moment did we let up the gas enough to think, what do we want?
And I think we also got caught up too. So we haven't explained about like what we did on our weekends and evenings.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We would work these jobs and then we would flip houses on the evenings and weekends. And
well, not flip houses. We've actually never sold a house that we've ever bought. We would buy them, really old houses that like needed a lot of love.
They were like foreclosures from the bank was one of them.
Yeah.
One of them was a landlord that it had turned into actually a crack house. Like there was drugs in the house when we took possession. Like we took the bad ones and gave them a little bit of a gay vibe, you know, a makeover. Yeah. And made them beautiful again. And then we would pull that equity to fund the down payment and renovation of the next one.
Yeah. So that was a lot of hard work. And now we still own them all. Like we've made the decision to not sell them. And we have tenants in them. We have a property manager that handles all of that stuff, obviously, because we live on the other side of the country.
We tried, but it got... Yeah. It's very hard if you're not boots on the ground, and we're not from there. We don't have like a cousin or a best friend we can call to go check on something if a tenant has an issue.
We held on to it for longer than we should have, mainly because there are just so many scummy landlords out there.
Mm-hmm.
As we were like getting into this, I guess, industry, we went to a lot of networking events to meet other like quote investors, I guess you'd call them. And people's main priority, our only priority really, is making as much money as they possibly can on these places. And we really didn't want that. We didn't want to be the scummy landlords that are just like taking advantage of people. And to give up managing the properties, I was really worried that we were gonna...
Well, it was our business. It was hard to hand over.
Again, you only have your name. Like, I don't want to be like known for that. But the fact that we were able to find someone that, you know, cares and is like has the same priorities is we're really lucky.
Yeah. Cause like we had two landlords and both of them were not the best. And I think that the best way to learn something is to get the worst treatment. So for instance, I had some really bad supervisors. I would never, ever treat someone if I had staff. I would never treat them the way I was treated because I didn't like how I was felt.
You learn what not to do.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we learned that from our landlords. We didn't feel respected. And I think that's where we have a lot of issues. If we do have issues, like that's what it always comes down to is
respect.
Respect is people either not respecting us or someone else or something.
Yeah, like... This is the thing. If I see someone disrespecting somebody else and I have nothing to do with it, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be involved. It like, and you're the same way.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Because like,
there's no need.
There's literally no
need to not treat someone with respect. And our society, this is a tangent in itself, but society has gotten to the point where like people just don't show each other respect anymore. And I think it's because it's so easy to leave a nasty comment. It's so easy to like, social media has really changed things and the decorum has just, it's gone now.
I also think it's easier because like humans have a negative bias. So I think it's easier to always point out something wrong with something or someone than it is to point out what's good or going well.
Yeah.
Because it takes more work to find that sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
So we always treated our tenants with respect. They moved in, they always got a Cineplex like gift card for the family to go out for a movie and a bottle of wine for the parents, little baskets and stuff. And then Christmas, they always got Christmas like gift cards for the grocery store or for Walmart or whatever it was. Like just those little things. But it actually paid off because
we would have the best tenants.
The best tenants. And they would stay for a long time and treat it like their own. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I don't know. It was hard to hand that off, but it was the right decision.
Yeah. And I guess getting to what we were talking about was those years, in addition to like the full-time jobs, renovating these properties and managing them ourselves and all of that, we were just so preoccupied with the hustle of it all that we were really, really lost and didn't know what we wanted and what the future was going to hold. And we reached that breaking point. I saw it in you. And that's when I said, hey, wild thought, why don't we quit our jobs? Why don't we buy an old RV, a 1996 fifth wheel? Let's renovate it, move into it and just hit the road and just live on the road, live van life, live RV life. Like, let's do it.
Yeah. Cause we couldn't do van life. I need a lot of things. So trailer life was for us.
Yeah. Trailer trash. Tells us.
But it was good. I think in a way though, too, we were preparing for that because the last year we were in Edmonton, we actually moved out of our house and into a basement apartment in one of our houses because we wanted to try living smaller. We were like, okay, we've got this 4-bedroom house. We sleep in one of them.
Yeah.
Charlie would sleep in the other one, which was kind of cute.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I didn't like it though, because I did want him to come over. Charlie's our dog, our oldest one. And
he's a 10-year-old golden retriever. Yeah, he's super cute.
He's such a sweetie. But I always wanted him to come over and snuggle. But for some reason, he liked that back bedroom. I think now it's because the house is haunted. There is definitely some evil spirits going on there somewhere.
Yeah.
But we moved into the smaller thing because we were like, we're being wasteful. Like, we're working hard to pay for this. Why we don't use it? Why not rent it out? Have someone that can use the space live in it. We'll live with less. And then that was a transition. We were like, okay, like we went from 4 bedrooms to 2 bedrooms. Like, let's go down to 1 and
see if we can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that was really important. I don't think we would have been able to make the jump unless we really like downsized our life again. And then moving into the trailer, that was an exciting experience, but like quitting our jobs felt very nerve-wracking as well. Like, how would you describe those first 3 months?
A lot of anxiety and panic attacks, which was a whole new experience for me. I had never, ever experienced anything like that because I had always been sure of my decision. And if I wasn't sure of my decision, you were championing me. But
neither of us.
We couldn't champion each other.
There was a lot of really low moments of us like staring inside this fifth wheel.
Ripped to hell.
And so just picture this, right? It's a 1996 fifth wheel.
Seven.
Oh, 1997 fifth wheel. Ripped to hell. And we paid $6,500 for it. And that was all that we had at that point. Because we were leaving, we were no jobs, nothing.
We also quit our jobs before we had bought that trailer and before we had bought a truck. We had a Corolla and a Prius, and we were going RVing.
We didn't know where we were going, but we were going. So we spent a month. We gave ourselves 30 days to get all that done, renovate it, and then we hit the road.
And that's where I think we really started to find ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that's where life got good.
I think so too. The connection, like living in 200 square feet, our connection with each other got so much deeper. We got closer. We got to spend every waking moment together, which was a lot at first, but I think it changed our relationship. It deepened it to a point that I'm shocked at. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah. But I think that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
I think this is a good place to put pause and go take the boys for a walk. And yeah, I'm really happy that we finally started this podcast. It's really exciting. It's a whole new experience. I cried 3 times. Was not expecting that by any means when we set this up.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this, especially like now that we've actually chatted. It feels not like what I thought. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. And if you love it too, make sure you give us a review wherever you're listening to your podcast, if it's Spotify or Apple. And if you're on YouTube, give us some love there as well. Thank you so much for listening. This was so much fun.
Yeah, we can't wait to see you next Wednesday on the next episode of Tangents with Tyler and Todd.
Bye.